You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Doug Penn, looking for insider news, videos, photos on the Cleveland Browns straight from Berea. Get the latest on player transactions, the draft, more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com, your most trusted source for Browns news, and the man who is penning much of that, along with his man, Kevin Jones, is the great Andrew Gribble, still with us here in studio, 216-578-0850. Let's get on the phone lines. Wanda in North Carolina. Wanda, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys
North
today?
Canton, I'm sorry.
How are you?
Good, Wanda. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on the possibility of the Browns going on Hard Knocks. I think that for someone like Alex Mack, he could handle that with no problem. But for someone like Johnny Manziel, who's coming out of rehab, addicted to the limelight, addicted to social media, I think it could be a real problem for him.
I agree with you, Wanda.
It'll be a big test, that's for sure, to see how he handles it. And also, though, as somebody who's as brand savvy as Johnny Manziel is, it's going to give him an opportunity to show that he's a different guy. I mean, it's also the opportunity for him to say and really put out there, I'm such a professional, look. Look at the new me.
Even without Hard Knocks, you think he'd want to do that in some kind
right.
of media platform
exactly.
as well. This will give him a convenient way to do that. I mean, you know, criticize Johnny Manziel for a lot of things, but how he's handled himself in front of the cameras, at least in when he does locker room interviews and everything like that, he's good. And I think it became almost kind of a thing. It's like, well, you can say it so well, why don't you prove it on the field? And I think that's the image he's going to be trying to bounce him back from this upcoming season.
And we know he's good in those situations. I mean, he's great with the media, but
yeah,
you
but
want to see
everything else that he's not good at.
I want to see him in the quarterback room. I think that tells you me more than anything. I want to see what he's doing when Kevin O'Connell's asking him to get on the whiteboard and draw things up, and how he's interacting with Josh McCown, that dynamic, Connor Shaw. I want to see all that stuff.
I agree. It'd be great. It really would.
Joe on a cell. I'm interested to see where this one goes. What's up, Joe?
Hi, man. Two things. First of all, is Nate or Nathan Zagura the son or brother of Bob Saget, the comedian actor?
I am not related, but I wish I was. It would be great to inherit.
You guys are very similar in looks and mannerisms and speaking. But what made me call was the comment.
You made me want to say a famous Bob Saget line, but I won't say it because I'll lose my job.
What made me call is you fellas talking about Hard Knocks and the Cleveland Browns, and one of you said something like, and I'm paraphrasing, excuse me, the Browns have nothing to be embarrassed about or anything to hide. I mean, if there were ever an organization that ought to be wary of being on such a show, it's the Browns. They're the most inept, haphazard group of professional managers I've ever seen in sports. I mean, they ought to just stay away from that, because from the owner to the bonehead dumb moves that Farmer has made or not made, I mean, it couldn't be more embarrassing.
So I would just respectfully disagree with you. I thought the Bob Saget thing was humorous. I think that's humorous too. Listen, the Browns, the perception about the Browns, I think, is very different from the reality, and this is an opportunity to make the perception be more in line with reality. I think Ray Farmer's done a good job. Obviously, TexGate is something that, you know, he wants to move on from, and there will be discipline, and that was wrong. But in terms of improving the roster, you've got to be happy with what's happened with this roster. I certainly am happy with what's happened with the roster, and I think you have a couple guys who are proven players on short-term deals that are coming in, because you know you've got 10 picks this year, and you've got at least 11 picks next year as it shakes out with the four compensatory picks. So you're going to have a lot of young guys coming into this roster for cheap, so I have no problem with what they're doing, and I think he's done a good job. I think it would be good to shine light on the positive things that are happening, because the perception is that, you know, team president Alex Shiner is meddling. You watch Hard Knocks and the Browns and the cameras were here all the time. You would know that was not the truth. You would know that Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer get along very well. You would know that Jimmy Haslam is not a meddling owner, as reports have made him out to be. I think it would be good to highlight those things.
And also from a human interest standpoint, if this did happen, you know, just from our perspective on the website, we know there's a lot of good stories to tell on this website. And, you know, HBO seems to do a good job of, you know, if you follow the NFL, they see a newspaper story about a player, and then they kind of take it to another level, the HBO level. They give them the HBO treatment. They go back to, you know, where they grew up and stuff like that. You'd see a lot of that maybe with it, be it like a Dante Whitner or even like some of the lesser name players, maybe like a Taylor Gabriel gets the HBO treatment. That would be a positive thing to come from that if that happened.
Crow too with what he went through and his off the field transgressions and becoming a professional, becoming a father. I think it would be interesting to see Justin Gilbert's development and what, you know, is really going on behind the scenes with him. I think there are a lot of good stories for the Browns.
There are a lot of good stories, and I guess for me, as a former player, it's just hard because when you watch Hard Knocks and they make a big to-do about, you know, a story, and then that guy ends up getting cut, and he's not even a part of the organization. He's not even a part of the team. You know, he's not a part of what happens on Sundays, which is what this focus is supposed to be on, you know, the football aspect of it. But because it's been multiple season after season after season after season, people have opened their eyes to understand the business, so they know that's part of it. But, I mean, they might shine a light and focus on, you know, even some of the guys that we just named that might not even be here, you know. And I think it takes away from the organization. It takes away from the guys that will be here that in some case don't want to be on camera, but they're going to have an integral role with what happens on Sunday, and that's where our focus should be.
I think I like it. I want it. I'm in. Sign me up. David.
I'm out.
Dave in Parma, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. I have a couple comments here.
Go ahead.
We could have won at least two more games, definitely two more games, had the leadership. They want to put the spotlight on somebody. Let's put it on the leadership of the Browns. They kept Billy Cundiff. He lost two games for us. Two, we end up with a whole new offensive game that's going to be because we lost the offensive coordinator. Why did we lose him? Who decided to go ahead and pull our quarterback and put Johnny Football up there? It had to come
Mike
from
Pettine.
Upstairs.
No.
Where did it come from?
Mike Pettine. Mike Pettine's addressed this many times, said that was my decision. That was our coaching decision. That came from nowhere above them. That was the decision that Mike Pettine thought was the best. You got to remember, that was coming out of some serious struggles for Brian Hoyer. He struggled mightily against Buffalo in that third quarter. They didn't have a first down. And then the game against Indianapolis, the defense scored 14 points, shut down Andrew Luck. The offense couldn't do anything. If the offense could have done anything, Brian Hoyer and the Browns win that game, and Brian Hoyer starts against Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
I mean, it came after significant poor play over a four-game stretch.
I do think there's a misperception of what was going on during those 2 weeks, because I thought it was almost a surprise when Hoyer was named the starter
for
the Colts game.
Yes.
And then by the time the Bengals came by, it seemed inevitable at that point.
Outside of Cleveland, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. And it finally did happen. Brian Hoyer deserved to be benched. I think he, during that stretch, maybe had one touchdown, eight interceptions, something like that over four games. In Cleveland, because he was Brian Hoyer and he was from Cleveland, that it became a whole power struggle that these people wanted him and the coaches didn't want him, etc. And that was not ultimately the case. That's not how it went down there. At that point, they needed to do something. If you go back and watch that Indianapolis Colts game and you tell me that if the offense produced in that game that the Browns lose it, no way. They don't. The offense didn't get it done. That's why when you look at what the Browns were able to do last year with, you know, a substandard offense, you are hopeful that if the offense can improve this year, and I certainly would argue that the pass catchers are better at the wide receiver position. We're still not sure what's done at tight end. These running backs are both going to be better. Talking to Wilbert Montgomery, making big leaps he expects from both of them from year one to year two. You get Alex Mack back on the line. There are reasons for optimism about this offense. I still want another playmaker, whether it be a receiver or a tight end, and you need good quarterback play. But the Browns showed last year with average quarterback play or even below average quarterback play, really, they could be a competitive team. And I think the D is only going to keep getting better. When we come back, Solomon Wilcots will join us. But before we do that, Gribbs, anything you want to get people to on ClevelandBrowns.com?
Well, you know, right now we've got a breakdown of all of the Browns' AFC opponents, what they've done in free agency. You know, within the division, it wasn't much. But those teams in the AFC, the Jets, Titans, even the Chiefs, different-looking rosters from those teams the Browns are going to face next year.
It's a good look at it, and it's at ClevelandBrowns.com. Also, the NFL getting rid of the blackout policy for the 2015 pre- and regular seasons.
That'll be awesome.
So that means that they're
good
every
for those
game,
markets.
Good for those. But the truth of the matter is there was not a single blackout last year in the regular season because teams would buy tickets or
right. Businesses
would. I think you're going to see some empty seats now as a result of that because, you know, and one of the things that the Browns are trying to do with the upgrades at First Energy Stadium is make it a can't-miss experience. A lot of people like to watch NFL on TV, and the Browns are trying to make sure you want to be there at First Energy Stadium next year, and I think that's a battle for the NFL, and interesting that the clubs themselves voted for that one-year suspension. I think they want to see how it ultimately will play out and impact things.
I grew up with a lot of blackouts in Cleveland. When you're an 8-year-old kid, you can't control how you get to the stadium, so I think it's a great thing.
I think it is as well. When we come back, Solomon Wilcots will be with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.